All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What a face down! Hey, how we doing? It's Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. And yes, we are all present and accounted for and in the same building as we are in the studios here at Gal Media in the Galleria area. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's me. And we are happy to
Who's
be with
me?
You, Joel,
there
for the
you
next
go.
3 hours. What's up, fellas?
What up?
What's
going
on?
Nick, your life can go on. You got your boys back in the studio.
Yeah. You missed me, didn't you?
It's different when you guys are not in studio. I'd rather have you guys in studio without being able to see y'all's faces.
Yeah.
But it's still better to have you in studio.
I like it when we're on remote because you can't talk.
I felt bad about that, and he
Why?
Liked it. So
I love
go.
It. Like, if he shuts up, I am so
I
happy.
I just get Nick to shut up.
And
for
I don't have
hours.
To look at him. Are you kidding
and
me?
And during commercial breaks.
Yeah, and there was hot chicks walking around. There was nothing bad about yesterday.
Yeah, Twin Peaks, I'll tell you what, man. They got it right and with their concept, the way they do everything. But that location out in Shenandoah, that's huge.
It is. It is.
There's so many areas to have your fantasy draft and hang out and... It's clean. It's a good spot.
I want to start this show off on a very positive note because we know what we got to talk about today.
Okay.
But I do want to give a shout out to the suspects.
All right.
We had a goal of hitting $250 for Tyler Miller and his Bennett's Bunch.
Right.
The fundraiser currently sits at $388.
Attaboy.
I want to give a shout out to all the suspects that helped us and donated. I still don't see Joel's donation, but... It should
need,
be on
unlike
there.
Unlike you, I don't need the publicity for it. I would rather be anonymous.
Yeah. Walt Walker, though, is the MVP of this bunch.
Why?
Because Walt donated $100.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. Walt's the man. And but I appreciate everybody that donated, big or small. If you donated $5 or $100, it doesn't matter. You donated, and we did it for a suspect, by the suspects. I'm very proud of that. I would still like us to double the goal, which
I was going
to
say, you're not 500. Done. You want to get to 500,
I want to get to 500, and I believe there are a lot of suspects out there that haven't donated yet because I'm looking at the list. All you got to do is go to the website, and I can see it. And I think there's a lot of folks out there that can donate $5 or $10, and I want to keep that train rolling because I think we could hit $500. So the link is at my Twitter page, at Barry is Funny. It's the pin post, so all you got to do is go to @BarryIsFunny, click on that link, and go donate, and let's get this to $500. And do it for Bennett's Bunch and a suspect, Tyler Miller. All right.
Good cause, good listener, yep. So helping out, it would be appreciated. And also shout-out to the suspects who just kept coming out to say hi yesterday.
Yeah.
And were bringing us gifts, which we never turned down.
No,
and
I ate Dave's the chocolate. Oh,
okay.
Delicious.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Oh,
God, I'm still swallowing it, though.
Okay, that was inappropriate. That was...
A lot of them said they're going to be in Beaumont to see us at West Bar on
the
Friday.
The Mont.
Yep. As we get down there for another year of football and Fridays.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Love that drive.
I hate the drive, but once you get down there, all the people, again, the suspects have been coming out in droves. Lauren Pope and her husband and the Pope Mobile will be there.
Yeah.
It's always Donna. Everybody's always fun to be around out down there. So we're looking forward to that.
Yep. I bet TJ shows up. It's always good times, indeed.
The Sciarra fan club is normally lingering on the outskirts
Friday.
Of the room.
Yay.
Nick's
going
to be down there, so I guess that's good and bad. I don't know that he wanted people to know that ahead of schedule because, you know, there is a wanted poster with his face on it.
Because
not
he hates
all.
The 409.
409 right. is cool, and they're cool with me.
So Nick
cool
is going with us Friday to the Mont. We're going to be at the West.
It's called West Bar.
West Bar. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I call it the West, but we're going to be at West Bar. Our show and the Blitz, right?
Yep.
And then I just wanted to point out, I also have a show in Beaumont.
Oh.
A comedy show the very next day.
Well, how convenient. Are you staying overnight?
Yes. No, I'm going to drive home, and then I'm going to go back.
God.
Yeah.
That's kind of dumb.
Well,
I'm sure they got a cot in the back at the West Bar. You could just lay it down there.
It's in Village Mills. I don't know where Village Mills is. I think it's north of Beaumont by like 20 minutes or so.
It's kind of like the Shenandoah of the Woodlands.
Probably.
Yeah.
But it's at W.O.'s Friendly Tavern. So if you want, just go to BarriersFunny.com. There are tickets. But I promised Beaumont that I would have a show this year.
Yes, you did.
Last year we talked about it. And when we were there last year during football season, I was looking up places to go and I couldn't find anybody. And there was places that, you know, said they wanted to work with me and then they wouldn't get back to me. And there was this one guy that was very rude to me. So it all worked out. I kind of got lazy.
I like that guy.
But then WO's Friendly Tavern started doing comedy and they asked me if I wanted to headline a night. And I was like, well, yeah, two birds, one stone. I get to work. I don't have to, you know, do all the behind the scenes stuff. And I get to go to Beaumont and do a show for the peeps. So if you're in Beaumont, if you live in Beaumont and you've been wanting to see me do stand-up, September 14th, WO's Friendly Tavern or WO's Friendly Tavern. I don't know how to pronounce it.
You got to get it right, bro.
Yeah, well, just go to BarriersFunny.com. There's a link to tickets.
Any promotion is good promotion, Nick.
That's right. There's a link to tickets that are pre-sale. They're $5. It's not an expensive show.
If you want Barry to stay at your house in Beaumont Friday night so he doesn't have to go home,
none of that is happening.
You can start texting the show or tweeting him at Barry is Funny. And please send specs of where he'd be staying, the cleanliness of the refrigerator, and any pictures of the sleeping arrangement.
No, I'll tweet out a link and everything as well. But BarryIsFunny.com.
Easy,
that'd
be great.
Easy peasy.
Then you don't have to worry about, you don't have to worry about spiders in the fridge or any or anything else. You'd be all taken care of.
Why do you project your
hatred?
Desire. By the way, Buddy Tyrell said locals do call it the West, Barry, so you're right. I don't know. I'm just going to...
You also said no one in Beaumont calls it B-Town, and we had...
I'm starting
Nick
off
and I
the
had
show
this debate 1-0. Live
1-0.
In Beaumont last year in which people were argumentative and demanding that it was called B-Town.
That was at Luke's, I think.
Yes, it was.
No, I thought they called it the Mont.
Oh, God. No, and then some people took it too far. What was it? Big Money...
Yeah,
big money, money
or whatever.
Beaumont. Okay, enough.
Lance Ford said, that's Koontz, dude. That's not Beaumont. Village, whatever. Village
dude,
Mills.
You're hitting the Koontz on Saturday night? All right, now we're talking.
Where is Village Mills? I got to look that up.
Like Nick and I are going to rattle it off like the back of our hand. Well, first you take a right at the stoplight, then you go to the post office.
I don't see Koontz on here. You got to be careful. Oh, it's north of Koontz. Yeah, it's
no
north.
Guy wants to be north of Koontz. It's called the belly button.
Oh my God!
Anything more than a 20-minute drive is cut and shoot to me. So.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, the that dad joke's going to be rolling around in my head the whole time.
I'm happy to supply it. I am happy to supply it.
Cleanse my palate before I go.
Oh, it's always good to shower.
My goodness.
Well, we had fun yesterday at Twin Peaks.
We did.
Then on the way home, we had to plan for a Texans game, and boy, what a game we saw. Just didn't have the end result that everybody was looking for. But I can honestly say after watching that game, and I told Nick this when I got in today, I actually have hope for the Texans this year because I was impressed with a lot of things that I normally am crapping all over with them. There's still some obviously nagging problems that are
the
same old,
same old. So you're backing off the 6-10?
Still not backing off 6-10 yet, but I will say this. I said we had to watch the running game to see what they had. Dare I say their running game looks better than when they had Miller?
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't run the ball more, to be honest with you, especially early on.
Weird if you're a Texans fan saying that, especially on third down.
Right.
But
my thought was, is you're running the ball well. Why get away from that? And I realized, you know, you want to allow Deshaun Watson to make some plays, but my God, Carlos Hyde averaged 8.3 yards a carry.
He looks slimmer, but boy, he was slithery. He was
he
all over.
He looks for contact. There was a specific run where instead of getting out of bounds, he squared his shoulders up and looked dead at a defender and tried to go old Earl Campbell helmet to the chest on old boy. It was good to see. Well, look, Carlos Hyde, I'm not going to get excited after one game. 180 yards rushing is outstanding. 40 of it came from Watson. That means 140 of it came from the tandem of Hyde and Duke Johnson Jr. Duke Johnson Jr. looked lost. He made a ton of mistakes. There was I didn't think outside of him rushing, and he ran the ball fairly well, but he looked lost. He gave up a couple of sacks that they wanted to blame on, you know, Tunsil on the left side of the line or the right side of the line. And sometimes your back has to pick up a blitz or two. And so I felt like they were blaming a lot of blitzes on the line.
Not to mention trying the Sage Rosenfeld helicopter for a one-yard gain that was extremely dangerous in more ways than one.
There was that busted play. I thought it was a bad game by Johnson. And he's been there longer than Hyde. If I'm going to tell you that guys like – you know, Marwin and Josh Reddick, when they're going well, will regress to their mean. I feel like Carlos Hyde will too. So if Carlos Hyde was all world, he wouldn't have gone anywhere.
I think the system has a lot to do with a lot of things. And I also think that at a certain point, a guy in his career steps back and goes, this might be my last shot. That's why he looks like he's in shape. He looks slimmer than he's been in his last four, whatever it is, three or four stops. And I wasn't expecting to get anything out of him last night. And
it was a very pleasant surprise.
To see the way he was running the football, I was like, oh, wait a minute now.
Yeah, I didn't want him to get away from it. I really didn't. But especially since two series, two sacks, it's like, well, here we go again. You know, they had two series. They gave up two sacks. The right side just looked lost and awful. And I never need to see Central Henderson ever again.
Oh, I was just going to say, Henderson is just awful.
I tweeted it out. There's two players I never need to see on the field again for the Texans. Aaron Colvin and Central Henderson. They could both never play again, and I'd be a happier Texans fan.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Also kind of weird that after the year that D-Hop had last year and never dropping a ball, that all of a sudden he had three drops in the first couple, you know, quarter and a half, and you're like, oh no. But then when you needed him, he was there. The only one that I really regret was the over-the-top ball he thought was going to get tipped, and it hit him in both hands, but he was kind of off balance falling down, and he couldn't just squeeze it because that would have been a huge play. But, you know, everybody can bitch about the six sacks that Deshaun got, you know, that took as well. But at the same time, I did think the left side showed you a lot of hope. I think that you know you've got one hell of a quarterback. Because, boy, oh, boy, elusiveness is one thing. But then putting throws where they need to be. And then on that last drive when they needed it. And just two plays later and you're just like, what the hell just happened? And is it amazing or what?
It really was. I was not expecting that. I mean, I really wasn't. I was expecting three or four plays. And my big takeaway from the game, if I were to sum it up on an elevator for a one-minute elevator pitch, was the Texans played a lot better than I thought. And who would have thought that the play calling that hurt you would have come from Romeo Crennel and not Bill
Very
O'Brien?
True. Man, can't agree more.
I thought Bill O'Brien called a great game. Mm-hmm. I thought, like you said, the offensive line, there were some guys were killing Laremy Tunsil.
No.
About how he, because he gave up a couple sacks. But remember now, there's also some communication issues.
Sure.
They showed it on one of the sacks where they got confused. Again, you've also got to rely on the back behind you to pick up a blitzer. So I'm not going to say that, oh, because there was somebody like, oh, you gave up two ones and a two for this? Relax. He's been there for 5 days. When you realize that there's just as much communication, if not more, between offensive linemen than there is between like receivers and quarterbacks and all that. There's a lot that goes on that has to be learned. So I'm okay with that because you know he's got the skill set.
Right, right.
But let's just get to it right away. That last call defensively.
Awful.
Terrible.
How do you drop three?
You're in a prevent in a tie game against Drew Brees.
Yeah. That you know that their kicker has 57 yards in him.
Yep.
You don't let them get 57 yards out or 58 yards out. That kick also would have been good from 60. You know this guy has a leg. You have to play like that. I don't know why you drop three in the prevent and why you play so soft, why you play so far off the ball. Lance said it perfectly, but, I mean, everybody was tweeting it last night. It just didn't make sense, and Booger McFarland pointed it out on the broadcast. It made sense to nobody, which is why I don't understand. If everyone watching, if the three of us and every single other person that's ever watched football understood that, why does Romeo Crennel not understand that?
Because maybe the game's starting to pass him by.
That I don't get. Why? Why do you play such a soft defense when you know you need to stop?
Yeah.
I would put two guys on the line. I would go dime. I would double everybody. Forget pass rush. Yeah, maybe spy Drew Brees if they had. I don't remember if they had a receiver in the game, if Kamara was in the game or whatever. Put a linebacker on him. But I'd be doubling as many people as I could. That made no sense to me. And up on them, too. Not any kind of zone, pass them off in between. It just made no sense to me. And that's what killed him, and I was surprised about
and
that.
And Booger described it as a brain fart, man. I hope that's the case.
Because
if it's something as little as that and he doesn't do it again, that could be the difference in a game and in a season.
Booger called it before the play started.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, during the formation, he's like, I don't like it. I don't agree with it. And then it obviously everything came to fruition that he was fearful of because I thought they were going to run out of time. And the fact that they were able to catch it in the middle of the field, get down, get the clock stopped, and I'm like, I looked at Lisa and I said, honestly, I didn't expect the Texans to do what they did, But I totally expected with 37 seconds left that New Orleans was at least going to get a kickoff.
A lot of people were saying that. Well, why did they touch him down? They should have just. Yeah. People were like, all you had to do was leave him alone, and then the time would have expired. And I said, no. Once a player gives themselves up, the play is dead. If he lays there, he gives himself up, the play is dead. They still have time to call a timeout. So that whole thing of, oh, they should have never touched him down, doesn't matter.
And they also let the official on the sideline know, by the way, as soon as we hit the ground,
he's giving himself up and we're calling a timeout. Yeah. So it doesn't. That wouldn't have helped.
All right, so we're going to continue to kick this around because obviously they were in it, they had a chance to win it, and it didn't go the Texans' way, but there's plenty to digest and dissect. And if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HR&P Lister Line, call, text, or hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at The Producer Nick. Before we hit this break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I was thinking about it the other day. Boy, I'll tell you what, between the summer season ending and the fact that we're going to start getting some rain again this week, you got to kind of pay attention to your roof on your house. And if you've been thinking about putting a new roof on the house, or you've had a leak and you haven't seen it much because of the hot weather, but now you're worried about it, there's only one place to call. It's Fitz Roofing. They're locally owned and operated. They do a great job, and you don't have to take it from me because Fitz Roofing has the ratings to prove it. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau. 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. You know that's the place you want to go to because they take care of you. And oh, by the way, their base warranties longer and better than your average roofer. And they use the best products, CertainTeed shingles. So much so, they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the United States get that criteria. They have it for you here locally. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. It's just that simple. FITZRoofing.com, or better yet, call them. 832-521-3001. Why? Because you get a free no-obligation inspection today. They'll come out, look at what you got, tell you what they can do, and then go away till you call them back. And you're going to call them back, and they're going to do great work. 832-521-3001 or FitzRoofing.com. I'm telling you, Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, segment two, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride wherever you may be in the big city on this Tuesday. Boys, you know what that means. Wednesday. Way back Wednesday, songs, theme, need one. People are going to start suggesting starting now. We need to come up with one sooner rather than later.
Why are you looking at me? Let's look at our producer. What you got?
You're sitting nothing. Next to me. I'm just throwing it out there for the people.
There's glass between us and him.
I throw it to the masses before I look at the asses. How about that?
I like that.
How about that?
I bailed y'all out last week. I'm not doing it this week, although I do have a suggestion, but.
Man, that was a lot of work and effort that had to be put into your idea, sir.
Yeah, and it was perfect.
Not really.
How about songs about disappointment?
Yeah. Why, because of the Texans?
How about songs about
hope? No, because I work with you. Yes, because of the Texans.
We'll discuss it.
Whatever. I've thrown it out. You don't like it? Then come up with something.
Good. Beautiful. Next. Okay. On the good news last night, boys.
Oh, was
Deshaun Watson, fastest player in NFL history to record at least 6,000 passing yards. 800 rushing yards, took him 24 games. Good news, bad news is there's a Yordan Alvarez in your rearview mirror, and it's coming at you, Deshaun, because the only thing I'll say is if Jackson keeps playing the way he's playing in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson may have something to say about that record, but otherwise, kudos to Watson. Third player in NFL history to record 6,000 pass yards and 45 passing TDs in a player's first 24 games, joining Kurt Warner, Dan Marino. Now, that's a good stat.
If he lives...
Yeah.
It's a real problem. 6 sacks in one game. I don't know if you guys are good with math, but 16 times 6, that's what? 636,
98.
That's 96.
Close.
96 sacks is what he's on pace for. He led the league last year being sacked with 62. 6 in a game is atrocious.
Not to mention the fact that this guy is willing to put his body on the line.
Yes.
To score for this team, and you have to add that, too.
That's what I'm saying. I'm really worried about if they don't get things cleaned up and figure this out. I don't know, because I kind of look at it as a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Some of the sacks come off of them taking too long for a play to develop, where they're faking a handoff, trying to draw on the linebacker and this and that. But is it worth the extra time that it makes your alignment have to hold up to fake a handoff and then set up to throw a pass? Or is it better just to start in a shotgun, drop three more steps back, and survey the field? They've got to do something.
It just depends on how bad it is. Because the fact of the matter is, like we said, the left side looks like there's hope. There's progress, and you've got a left tackle. It's just a matter of building chemistry and getting him comfortable.
But there's four other guys on that line.
I was going.
Henderson is
awful.
By
the way, one of them they solidified today for the next 3 years at $33 million in Nick Martin. And I don't understand that. That came out this morning. That, to me, is just mind-boggling because I don't think they'd be fighting over anybody but themselves to pay him that much money. But that's done. So, yes, you're right. There are certain things like that you also need to factor in. Because, look, the Packers did it when they had all those issues and Rodgers was hurt. They put him in the shotgun. But the other thing, to Nick, to your point, is it was a great play to dive into the end zone. I'm not sure he had to do it. And as much as the ESPN guys were giving him all the credit for, instead of running and then running it all the way until he took a hit, you know, pulling up and taking the pass instead, the other thing he's got to learn for self-preservation is sometimes – think about the fact that one extra yard or the way you get into the end zone, if you go head first, I think you'd still make it. But boy, the way he got way up in the air and then took all that impact on his back, you could see even on the one scramble where he was trying to get out of bounds and he was wincing like, eesh, it's still grabbing him. You're going to take enough hits that you can't keep doing that to yourself, punishment.
Here's the problem, though. You're not going to change a guy like Deshaun Watson. He's going to have to be who he is. He's going to run the ball. He's going to get outside. That's what he is. He's going to take risks. You knew that when you drafted him.
I disagree, simply because he already changed in the fact that he's not running and hanging on to it as long, and he's learning to get down.
But
he's learning to get it out of his hands.
You understand that that's the effectiveness and the beauty of Deshaun Watson.
Don't stop running.
Is if you don't let him run, he becomes one-dimensional.
I'm not saying don't stop running. I'm saying be smarter in how you run. Avoid the hits. Get down earlier. Head out of bounds. If you have a chance between an extra yard or two, or you can either dump it down or throw it somewhere else so that you don't take any hit at all, do it. This would be different if this team was an above-average offensive line.
If he goes out of bounds at the one, do you have confidence that the Texans punched that in?
I do.
Did you not watch them last year on goal lines?
Last year's awful. Not this year. We just got done talking about the running game.
Yeah, fine, but I still
and
don't.
I didn't hear what I said either.
That whole team.
If he goes head first like that, he still gets the ball over the goal line, and he's not totally airborne.
He did go head first.
No, he didn't, Barry. He got up in the air and went with his back first and landed on his tailbone, and that's why I got bruised.
He flipped, but he was still going head first. You can't land on your back and not go head first.
Just watch the replay again. He could have just stretched the ball. If he was going to do that, the D-back wasn't even looking. The D-back just kind of flailed.
Regardless,
that was the
same
dude, by the way. That was the same dude that the Minnesota Miracle that missed the tackle.
Yeah.
Somebody put him side by side and was like, this dude's never going to learn. Head down, completely whiffed on Watson, just like he did in the Minnesota Miracle. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. And the other thing I didn't like, but speaking of that guy, though, at P.J. Williams, I had no problem with Hopkins' tackle. And if you're going to
you can't do that.
Why can't you just take him down to the ground?
No, you can't tackle like that. That's unnecessary roughness.
That was kind of a, I'm going to pick you up.
Yeah. You know what people missed at the end of the play? They missed the other Saints guy come in and grab his helmet, face mask, and yank up on his head.
But if they tackled a Texan like that or a Packer like that, you'd be pissed. No. I totally understand the throwing the flag on that.
I really wouldn't.
If they tackled Aaron Rodgers like that, you would be okay with it.
But that's not the quarterback.
It doesn't matter. You can't tackle anybody like that. That's the new NFL. They're soft. That's just the rules, though. He knew the rules. He's like, next time I'm
People missed, by the way, the little face mask and then the head thing
they
afterwards.
Did, but, I mean, what initiated was that big-ass throw there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just pissed.
That belly to belly? Boy, I missed a good old belly to belly back in the day. By the way, next segment, can we talk about somebody, speaking of missing, can we talk about somebody that just didn't show up the entire game?
I think you're. I think
JJ Watt.
Yeah,
let's discuss that on the other side. But right now, let's discuss GetUpside because I love this app. I love money, and I love seeing the listeners get money, and that's why I love Get. There's nothing to not love about GetUpside, and if you haven't downloaded it yet, I don't know what it's going to take. Is it just that? Do I have to like send you receipts and all this to show you how much money you're missing out on? Think about this. If you're like a lot of listeners that are sending me their screenshots of their accounts and they've got $100, $150, $400, I mean, Think about what you could do with that money. Think about the bills you could pay, or the you could start saving for a vacation. All of this is money that you're already spending. All you have to do is download a free app that doesn't require you to commit or anything. You put it on your phone, and then when you fill up your tank, you do it at a gas station that's in the GetUpside app, and you're going to get cash back, whether it's a couple of bucks or $7, like some listeners that were telling me they got the other day, or $5. It doesn't matter, though. It's your money. Go get it back, and go do that through the GetUpside app. And when you download it and put it on your phone, make sure you put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, because it'll get you extra savings or extra cash back on your first fill-up. And trust me, that can add up too, especially if you find a really good deal through the app. And don't forget, you can also do that when you go out to eat. So if you're going to stop and get some dinner tonight, you're going to go get some lunch, you can get up to 35% cash back every time you eat out through the GetUpside app. Here's the beauty of it. These businesses don't want you going to their competitors. They want you using them. They want you going to them. And that's why they offer you these deals through the GetUpside app. But you're only going to get it if you have the GetUpside app. ABC 13 did a story on this, guys. It's legit. I use it. Nick uses it. AJ uses it. A lot of people at the station use it. Tons of listeners are getting involved. If you haven't already, do yourself a favor. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Half hour into The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Tuesday talking about your Texans and a tough one last night in New Orleans. As they take that loss on the final kick. Some weird stuff, but first, before we get to that, we can talk about your man, Justin James.
Yeah, what?
Are you saying what the hell happened last night?
No, I'm saying there's a couple of things that you could blame this on. One, I realize he was double-teamed a lot, and I realize that they made a concerted effort to focus in on not letting him be disruptive, and that's to be expected. Especially when you get rid of a guy like Jadeveon Clowney and don't have him on the other side that also has to be focused on. So you kind of, I'm not going to say you expected this to happen, but the fact of the matter is the Texans as a team had one sack. It was Whitney Mercilus, and Drew Brees was never really ever under pressure. He was never really, they hit him three times all night. All night. You're talking about three QB hits and one sack. And compare that to the Texans, who Deshaun Watson was hit 11 times and sacked 6. There was zero pressure on Drew Brees all night. It's a wonder the dude didn't throw for 500 yards, especially as bad as Colvin played and some of that secondary. So,
I think the pick was pretty bad. He wasn't Drew Brees' midseason form either.
Oh, with the Mercilus pick?
Yeah.
Was it McKinney? Who was
no,
it?
No, it was Mercilus. Whitney had a good game. He had a sack. He had a pick. He did some things
In the red zone, yeah, you don't expect to see that. But for all of the trouble that the secondary has, you also have to have some pressure on the quarterback in order to alleviate some of the pressure that's being put on this secondary. And if there is no pressure up front and your secondary isn't great, that's going to be a big problem. Drew Brees threw for 370 yards. And again, I'm surprised it wasn't more. But J.J. Watt disappeared. I expect next game, I fully expect him to go off. Especially,
New Orleans has one of the better offensive lines in the game.
They do, but literally his name is not in the box score.
And he owned it.
Period.
So I will give him credit because after the game he owned it. He said it was on him. He's got to do better, plain and simple. It's not anything more to it. And I appreciate him saying that. But as a general manager, as both, whatever Bill O'Brien is and his staff, they had to know that one of the drawbacks to getting rid of a guy like Clowney is you had to have some plan in place and plan for the fact that this was going to be something you had to address. Now, I know that they're just trying to, fill gaps with guys they already have, But obviously, the guys you got from Seattle, at least short term and probably never, are going to be anywhere near guys that can you can just place and fill in spots like that. But Merciless played good. But again, we kept saying before the game even started, we said when the move was being made for Clowney, where are they going to get that pass rush on the other side?
Well, I bet Watt also feels a little stupid for, didn't he tell Drew Brees, hey, you need to get a better right tackle?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, and Ryan Ramczyk basically.
Scotty boy.
I mean,
they know, look, he's a hell of an offensive lineman.
But he really is. And, I mean, he neutralized J.J. Watt. There was one time where I think Watt kind of got some pressure on Drew Brees. But it was nothing. Drew Brees was never really in danger. I mean, he really wasn't.
No, he only created his own danger when he got out of the pocket and started to try and run around a little bit.
Fact of the matter is, J.J. Watt disappeared. Aaron Colvin hurt this. There was plenty of blame to go around. You can't blame Deshaun Watson. You can't blame the running backs. You can't blame, even as bad as Duke Johnson looked, I thought.
Can't blame
D-Hop. He looked lost. You can't blame the receivers.
Or Will Fuller, who caught some tough balls.
Bro, Will Fuller with the catch behind the helmet was amazing. Kenny Stills with the touchdown. You look at this team and you get excited, and I see why you're saying, man, maybe we were off on the 6-10 because that offense looks great. But then you realize that offensive line didn't look so great. Six sacks is awful. The secondary is bad. They still have a lot of holes to fill. Not to mention, they've got to still overcome coaching. Between Romeo Crennel's calls and Bill O'Brien giving away two timeouts and one play, which was midseason form for that – there's still a ton. They were in the game because of that.
The offensive line's going to get better. We already said that. I think they're going to get better because
they're going to go sign somebody?
Well, but here's the thing. You're going to insert your two top draft picks. You're going to insert at some point Howard and Sharping, whether they're going to be guards or wherever they're going to be. I was surprised they weren't out there. But at the same time, at least you know that they have help on the roster that should be in a position to help them going forward. You know, like we said, that when as Tunsil gets more comfortable, he's going to get better and better. They got to address right guard. But we know that they can get better. On the secondary front, I have no idea what the hell they're going to do. I have no idea who's going to be that stop and play, step and play, pop that guy right in there and make them better. Because Drew Brees had a field day and he could have had more. We said he wasn't his normal midseason self, but he still picked him apart. He still made every throw. And a lot of times he didn't look like he had the same zip on the ball, and it still got there and was completed, and the receiver had time to get feet down and get out of bounds. Their secondary worries the hell out of me.
Yeah, I don't know why Lonnie Johnson didn't play.
Because he's a rookie against Drew Brees.
Okay. Well, do you think he would have done any worse than Aaron Colvin did?
He might have more speed, but he also might bite on some things that Colvin as a veteran might not.
They might have believed. I think they believed in him more than Lonnie at that point.
I think it's trust.
So it might be trust. And now when you look at him play after week one, you have to question yourself. Do you still want to do that? So
I mean, it was pretty obvious to me. There were a couple of guys on this team that were absolutely lost on the field. Shantrell Henderson was one of them.
Terrible.
Aaron Colvin was another one. Duke Johnson at times looked completely
out of
sorts.
I'm not as down on Duke Johnson as you are.
Bro, go back and watch the game.
I expected he was going to make some mistakes. I also think that there were times he ran the ball effectively. I agree with you is on the blocking, picking up blocks.
But
if you're
going to
be on the field, you have to pick up blocks.
On a busted play, you went the wrong way. And you're the one pouting in the huddle, literally pouting. Go back and watch it on the busted play where Deshaun Watson goes to his right to hand the ball off, and Duke Johnson sprints wide, and he's not there. And then Watson just runs up the middle and gets tackled, and he wakes up and he points to both sides of his helmet. And he's like, this is what we were running. And Duke Johnson is just throwing his hands in the air and screaming and pouting. It's like, bro, you messed that up. You messed that up. That's all mental. That's not a physical ability thing. That's studying the playbook and listening to what's going on and paying attention while you're standing there next to the quarterback. That's inexcusable in the NFL. He's a professional. He's not a rookie. He's been around. That's something that's easy to overcome. Plus the missed blocks. I mean, no one expects Duke Johnson to be a great pass blocker, but if you're a third down back, you better have a little bit of skill in that.
Well, that's what I said. I said I completely agree with picking up blocks. Yes. But, I mean, overall, I think of everything that we're talking about, I expect the offensive line's going to get better. I expect Duke Johnson's going to get better. I don't expect the secondary to get any better.
I don't understand why you keep saying you expect the offensive line to get better. You think two rookies is going to make this line better?
They have ability. They were drafted for a certain reason. They have people that are saying, look, if Howard's finger's okay, and then I don't know what the deal is with Sharping, but at the same time, they can't be any worse than what you got. And so I think they're going to get better. And I think that there's, again, a learning curve with young guys that as they get more comfortable in this league and understand how they have to do what they have to do, I think they're going to get better. I don't know what they're going to do to get better at right tackle, but I expected them to get better. I don't know what to expect of the secondary to get better because I don't know how unless they go out and sign an Orlando Scandrick and they look at other guys on scrap heaps from other teams.
I don't understand your logic in this.
I don't care.
I know, but you're saying that you expect two rookies to come in and make the line better, but you don't think Lonnie Johnson as a rookie is going to make the secondary better. That makes no sense to me.
I said in week one, I don't think that you're going to put Lonnie Johnson. I can see him playing against Jacksonville, sure, especially with the situation that they're in now. But I don't think week one as a rookie, there's one thing to be said to be thrown to the fire. There's another thing to throw to the wolves. If you put him out there against Drew Brees is going to pick him apart, expose the hell out of him, and make him look bad. At least with Colvin, you know that there's a veteran guy that
can get picked apart and exposed and look bad.
Okay, just keep.
What?
No, I was just trying. It's fine.
It happened. It absolutely happened. Right. At some point in the middle of that game, you're telling me that it would have been any different to tell Colvin, hey, take your helmet off and have a seat for a little while. Let's just see if Lonnie Johnson could get beat as bad as you are.
Okay, we'll continue to move on. If you want to join the conversation, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. You can call that number, text that number, or hit us up on Twitter as we'll take you all the way till 4 o'clock. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the Houstonian because we've been telling you about the fact that if you want to get off on a staycation but you can't really leave town and you've got a lot of things going on in the city, you should try the Houstonian because going to the Houstonian is like getting out of town with all the amenities and the pampering and all the different things that you'd love to have if you went 3 or 4 hours away. All right here in Houston, and you're not going to believe it. It's in the Galleria area. You can go as a couple or a family. Luxurious accommodations, great rooms, spectacular views, 27 wooded acres for jogging, hikes, tennis, 3 unbelievable swimming pools. They'll take your whole family on nature hikes and show you a bunch of stuff, all as part of the package that you get for getting out there and getting to the 175,000 square foot health club, along with the hotel and all of the different fine amenities they have. They have 4 different restaurants that are all going to be absolutely fantastic. The Trellis Spa, just top rated and absolutely fantastic. It's the perfect place for that getaway escape. And all you've got to do is look right in your own backyard because it's here in Houston. Go to the website, Houstonian.com, and you can just let the video roll. You'll see what I'm talking about. The Houstonian is a remarkable local destination, whether it be for your family or just to get away with your significant other or your couple. Check them out right now, Houstonian.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the Gal Media Studios in the Galleria on a Tuesday in the big city. The other thing that was kind of weird to me, and of course, timing is everything in more ways than one, the fact that they screwed up the Saints with the clock on that call before the end of the half, and then yeah. It was almost like the obligatory, we have to go on air live during the broadcast in the second half, tail between legs, and admit, we probably screwed that one
My
up.
My favorite part of that is they have their referee expert in the booth, and he's like, well, they screwed it up. We go back and look at the second half, or the end of the first half. There was 42 seconds left when he was down. They moved the ball. They set it up. The 10-second runoff should have occurred at 42 seconds, not at 26 seconds. But these guys are having a great game. What? Bro, you just literally picked apart a horrible decision at the end of the game that cost them 3 points. And now, because now we see what Drew Brees could do. Well, we knew what Drew Brees could do with an extra 20 seconds. He had 38 to get him in field goal range to begin with. You give him an extra 20 seconds, yeah, he's going to be able to make that field goal that got missed a lot closer. So I just thought that was hilarious, and you're right. The fact that after the whole offseason and bad refereeing and then they get screwed on the clock thing, not great. Not great for the NFL. But
no, but I will say this, and again, we were bitching about matchups and teams and national TV games. At least from a national TV perspective, that was a good game.
Oh, yeah.
It had everything. That was scoring and back and forth.
That was one of the best football games of the weekend, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because everybody's anticipation was Steelers-Pats was going to be good, and it was a complete dog.
Yep.
And here you go Monday night as the caveat to the first weekend, just happy that football's back, and you finish with that game. That was a good deal.
Oh, yeah.
And I was listening to this morning to John and Lance, and someone said, does Deshaun have the Michael Jordan gene? And I'm not going to go that far. I don't want to get into that.
Dabo Sweeney thinks he does, remember?
And I know Dabo does. But I'm going to say this. You can call it whatever gene he's got. It's a good one. And ESPN finally kind of caught on to what we've been talking about ever since Andrew Luck retired. And that is, this is why it's of the utmost importance that you take care of this guy. And that you avoid the six sacks and the hits and all the different things.
Yeah.
Because, boy, he's special. He steps up big in the biggest moments. He puts you in a position to win that ball game. He did nothing to lose that game for the most part. He played his ass off. And that's why I don't, you know, Bill O'Brien, Romeo Crennel, whatever, get your crap together.
Well, that's why I said, if he lives, this is going to be great.
No doubt. Because honestly,
he's got to live.
You know me, and I am not a Bill O'Brien fan in terms of as a coach, as a general manager. But because of that, it affects the way I watch this team because it's just so frustrating to watch every single time they got a third down, they'd run it into the center of the line and just punt. And they would never take any chances. And their play calling was just completely white bread. But here's the thing. I had a good time watching this team last night, mm-hmm. and I had a lot of hope for the future going. They've got a lot of skill position players to work with. They've got talent at the quarterback position.
And it was fun to watch.
Yeah. Yes.
Playing devil's advocate for the Bill O'Brien haters out there, mm-hmm. how much of this might be the fact that now you're another year into Deshaun Watson's development, and now you can open up the playbook even more? Does that have anything to do with it? Do you think that, okay, now he is a full-fledged veteran NFL quarterback. He's not a rookie. He's not learning. He belongs here. Everybody knows he belongs here. So there's no limits. We take the governor off and just full bore let Deshaun Watson be Deshaun Watson. And we saw that in game one. Do you think that has something to do with it?
No, you know why? Because of who's making that call and who's pulling those decisions. You know why? Because rookie year, I'd like to remind you that coming out of camp, Tom Savage was head and shoulders the better of the two quarterbacks. And he was the guy that had to be on the field week one. And then look at the rookie season Deshaun Watson had until he got hit too many times.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are the quarterback whisperer that everybody says you are, and you are the talent evaluator for this franchise, and you evaluated talent like that, then I don't think it has anything to do with, oh, now he's mature enough that I can pull the governors off and I can do these things. Bottom line is, dude has had this talent since day one. And if he wasn't running scared and running for his life, he might have been able to mature and settle in a little bit more. But he hasn't been able to because he's always looking over both shoulders and front and back going, who's hitting me next?
Yeah. I noticed something during the game. They kept running these commercials about call this number, ESPN is going away.
Mm-hmm. Could go away for DirecTV subscribers.
Well, I have UVerse.
I don't know.
And they were running them.
Oh, really? Did it say UVerse on the crawl?
Well, no. It just said, I guess it's because AT&T owns DirecTV.
True.
So I think it's both. And then I started looking into it. I typed in the number. I did some research. And apparently Disney, that owns ESPN mm-hmm. and ABC and all these other ones, is trying to work with UVerse and DirecTV, and they're not wanting to negotiate. AT&T is wanting a break on how much it would cost to have ESPN, and you know about all this stuff.
I've been through it.
So they're wanting a great deal, and Disney is saying, no, this is what the market would bear. So they're at an impasse, and they're suggesting that all that stuff might go away. I got to tell you, I'm this close to dropping UVerse and AT&T already because I discovered this weekend and I'm pissed. You know, I don't have the NFL Network anymore.
That was talked about for a while.
But I didn't know. I guess it didn't register. I always thought I knew that I didn't have the Sunday ticket or access to it unless you have DirecTV. But I don't even have NFL Red Zone now. I don't have the regular plain-ass NFL Network. It does not exist anymore.
Because you can do it on demand, man. And ESPN Plus, I mean, there's no indication that it's doing bad. I haven't really read up on it, but I can see why AT&T would want a deal and ESPN would want to get paid, for sure.
Sure.
Because obviously, you know, there's people out there always trying to get their – their bills lowered because it's so expensive to have cable.
And this is just going to be a huge boardroom issue. This is why that crawl is out there and all these different things. It's a straight financial issue because of the fact that we did all of this when AT&T Sportsnet was coming in. And the Rockets are like, you want your Rockets? You've got to call this number. You've got to do this. We had to do this whole campaign and did all these things. And at the end of the day, people are like, yeah, I want my Rockets, but I'm not going to pay $4 or $5 extra a month on my bill to get them when I never had to pay to have the previous provider. And that's where you're going to get the pushback, because ESPN is hoping and relying on the fact that sports fans nationwide are going to go, I can't live without my ESPN. But at the end of the day, people are going to go, I can't live without it if it's free, but I can live with it if you're going to charge me this much more per month.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. And for me, I'm just like, yeah, I think I'm ready to cut the cord. I really am. I think I'm going to look at the Roku or Sling, or there's another one, Fubar, Fubu.
Ooh, easy now.
Yeah, there's
Fubar might be your bill before you get out.
I think it's Fubo, because somebody tweeted me and said, is that for us, by others? Because, you know, Fubo is for us, by us.
Yep.
So I think it's Fubo, but I'm going to look at all these. And I told Nora, I was like, look, I already canceled like HBO and all that. Game of Thrones is off air. I cut all that out. And I lowered what package we have from like the 450 to the 200 or something like that. But we don't watch that much. And we watch a lot of Netflix. We watch a lot of Hulu.
You know Hulu has live sports.
Yeah, I know, but I'm more concerned about what about Rockets games? What about Astros games? I want to be able to watch those.
Sure,
I want to be able to watch TNT and TBS and basketball season. And so there's some things as a sports fan you got to be careful of. But I really think that by the end of the year, if I'm not locked into anything with AT&T, I'm done. I'm moving away from them, man. There's just no reason to have it anymore.
Well, you know what? And I've seen so many different things, and I'm in the middle of one. The fact that DirecTV's gotten too big, and like you said, once they hitch their wagon with AT&T, they don't care about the customer like they once did. And I'm in the middle of one right now where my account has been escalated four different times for the way they've screwed things up. And I've been promised 18 different times that someone was going to get back to me. I'm still waiting.
Jeez.
And I don't think they care anymore. I think that's the thing. They've gotten too big to care about the little people or any common customer. And they feel like if you bang your head up against the wall long enough, you'll just go away. They don't want to be bothered anymore.
That's ridiculous.
And it is. It's bad because they've had the corner on the market with that monopoly with the NFL Sunday Ticket for so long. And then people got involved where you have to offer it in other ways.
I'm not saying I did this.
Right. Someone else might have.
But somebody was saying, all you got to do is go to Reddit and you can find streams of all the games to watch
all the time
on your PC.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm not saying that there are people, not me, of course, but there are people that have a site bookmarked where you can watch the UFC and NFL and out-of-market baseball and all that stuff. And, I would never do that.
Yeah.
But I do know that stuff exists. And it's,
but you're a man of the people. You just want to make sure people know it's out there.
What would be cool, and I would never do this, is like you've just set up a media PC with a browser, and you just went to those sites and put it on your big screen TV. That would be – I would never do that, though, because that's illegal, and I don't do that.
Public service announcement from the usual suspects. All right, hour one in the books. 2 hours still to go of the big show. That means plenty more times for you to have an opportunity to get in here. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest about the Texans, you want to start talking about some Astros and another big-time offensive performance last night, we're ready for you. Anything you got on your mind you want to throw at us, we'll take a crack at it, take a swing. Hour number two right around the corner, HR&P Listener Line, 713-780-3776. Call or text that number. Hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.